Here's the truth. Abortion hurts. She didn't anticipate the situation, but now she must make a difficult choice. She can choose abortion, which might feel like a solution in the short term, but it leads to an aching sense of loss, depression, and a risk of infertility. Because abortion hurts women. But she also has another choice. She can choose to be a mother. Being a mother doesn't hurt. In fact, it can heal. And being a mother is more beautiful than anything you can imagine. Of course, it's not an easy road, but there are people who will walk with you, help you with childcare, healthcare, education, job training, even housing. You don't need abortion to succeed. You need support. We will connect you with the support you need. Go to standingwithyou.org. We will support you.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Positively Pro-Life, a podcast brought to you by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. On this podcast, we aim to bring you inspirational stories and conversation, important legislative updates and informative interviews as we seek to restore and strengthen a culture of life. I'm your host, Ramil Tenney, Education Director at the Federation, and joining me is my co-host and Executive Director, Maria Gallagher. Welcome, Maria, as always.
Thank you so much, Ramil. It's great to be with you today.
It's good to always have you, and it is such a beautiful but chilly day outside. And winter is finally here, and some of us saw the first snow of the season last week. And there is nothing like winter to want to cozy up in a warm blanket and get into the holiday spirit, especially with Thanksgiving just around the corner. But some of us who love traveling and who are more the outdoorsy types, that some of us like me, we're already missing the warmer months when road trips and long travels were all the rage. And many people were taking the time to explore scenic routes to see the beauty of the leaves changing colors or to enjoy a day at the beach. But obviously that's behind us now. But that brings us to today's conversation, which revolves around the experience of a pro-life family from Missouri that made another kind of road trip a few months ago. The Westbrooks, along with their 7 children, embarked on a pro-life tour across multiple states in the country to explore the post-Dobbs landscape of the American pro-life movement. Now, I'm really looking forward to speaking with Brian Westbrook today to hear all about their trip, and we will just after Maria shares her update for the week.
Ramil, it was my most memorable Thanksgiving ever. It had every right to be, since it marked the first and only time I would ever be pregnant. There was a time when I thought I would never conceive. It was a painful period of time as I thought of a life devoid of children. But then the miracle happened, and I was with child. That Thanksgiving, my parents and sister flew down to my home to be with me. I will never forget the feeling of exhilaration I held within me, with my baby's heart beating within. By then, my baby bump was on full display, and I remember the tenderness with which my sister treated me as I exited the car heading to my home. That was, for me, the best Thanksgiving. The world seemed filled with promise and possibility, and I couldn't wait to meet my baby face to face. I had already seen her on an ultrasound, playing with her toes, and even though I did not ask the ultrasound technician the sex of the baby, I knew in my heart I was carrying a girl. Thanksgiving has always been my favorite holiday. I love the feeling of warmth, togetherness, and belonging. Most of all, I love my family and the many memories we made together. Even though my parents are now gone, I will honor them this Thanksgiving with prayers and praise. They gave me the best gift, a loving home in which I could thrive. The lessons I learned there have served me well in the campaign for life. I wish you a Thanksgiving filled with those moments that will become cherished memories. Ramil,
Oh, thank you, Maria, for that message. That image of your baby playing with her toes is such a powerful one. I mean, the things that
Yes.
babies do inside of the womb. And again, speaking of the joy that a new life brings, not just to the mother, but to those around her. Thank you so much. That's a beautiful way to enter into the Thanksgiving spirit. Now, our guest, Brian Westbrook, is the founder and executive director of Coalition Life, a sidewalk counseling organization that is involved in community engagement and pregnancy center services. Brian is an innovative leader, sought-after speaker, and strategic advisor to pro-life leaders around the country. Brian's pro-life work has resulted in over 4,000 turnarounds at abortion facilities across the Midwest and a complete elimination of abortions in St. Louis, Missouri. His work has been featured in the New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, and CNN, along with numerous articles and interviews in local publications and radio shows. We are so glad that you could join us, Brian. Welcome to Positively Pro-Life.
Well, it's an honor to be here.
Oh, such a joy to have to hear what you have to say, and especially because it involves your family and your seven kids, including a baby. So, but before we go into that conversation, can you give us a brief introduction to Coalition Life and its mission?
Yeah, absolutely. Coalition Life was started back in 2011 as just a very small local group who pulled together. What's now today called the St. Louis Method of Sidewalk Counseling, very much focused on removing a lot of that typical pro-life language away from the abortion facilities and focusing exclusively on that woman as she's driving in, offering her hope and help through every single hour that these places are open. And so we're excited now to be at six different locations in the Midwest. Also, we run a pregnancy center in St. Louis, Missouri, and hope to continue to grow our sidewalk counseling efforts throughout the entire country.
And how did you come to hold your pro-life beliefs?
Oh, my goodness. So, after my wife and I got married, she was pregnant with our first child. And after he was born, about 4 weeks into it, he was getting sick, and really, we didn't think it was much of a huge concern. But we took him to the doctor, and I was trying to get him checked out. And I get a frantic phone call from her at the office. I was working at an engineering firm at the time, and she said he stopped breathing. And those words changed my life forever. So I run off to the hospital, meet her there. As they were actually loading him into a helicopter to get him to a children's hospital. And 7 days later, in ICU, he wasn't getting any better. He had RSV and pneumonia. He had fluid on his lungs. And we went down to the prayer chapel there and finally just gave it all to God and said, "Take care of our little boy, and I'll rededicate my life to you." And it was this tiny little baby and feeling very helpless and hopeless about the situation that really changed my viewpoint on what is the innocence of children and what it means to be a father, what it means to be a parent. After that experience, he did get better. Now he's a teenager and driving us crazy, but that's okay. That's what teenagers do. After that, my mother-in-law came to us and shared her own abortion experience. And she invited us out to the abortion facility and said, "Hey, can you go?" And of course, my answer is no, absolutely not. We're not going there, not to the abortion facility. We're not doing that. And her persistence and the encouragement of my wife, we went out and we saw women leave in tears. And those women leaving in tears really motivated us to do something, get something done. So we launched some prayer vigils out there and eventually launched our ministry full time in 2011.
Wow, that's amazing. I love how you said your very first reaction was, of course, no. You know,
Right.
that seems to be such a common experience for a lot of people when you're when you have been given that opportunity or when you're invited. But from there, now you and your family have visited multiple locations, And you even took a pro-life road trip just to speak with women, just to figure out what exactly is going on at the pro-life movement as well as at abortion centers. So can you tell us a little bit about that? How did that come about? What did you find?
Yeah, absolutely. So in a post-Dobbs world, in a post-Roe versus Wade world, now with the Dobbs decision ruling, we looked at the nation and, while we saw a temporary drop in the number of abortion facilities nationwide and a temporary drop in the number of total abortions nationwide, that was not the trend forever. In fact, it is swinging the opposite direction with the advent of the abortion pills. And many of these ballot initiatives that are on the ballot, many of them that passed, including Missouri here recently. And so we are looking at the nation and saying, wow, a lot of these abortions and abortion facilities exist on the Eastern Seaboard. And with our goal of continuing to expand nationwide, the only way to really, really know what's happening on the ground is by visiting them. And so I pitched to my wife about 2 years ago. I said, "Hey, how about we visit all 690 abortion facilities nationwide?" And of course, her first answer is, "No, we're not doing that. That's crazy." But I think we need to know what's happening on the ground. And so eventually, we pulled together a plan to visit 60 abortion facilities in 34 days. We went from St. Louis, Missouri, all the way through Georgia, Florida, and all the way up the Eastern Seaboard, through Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., and of course, through New York, Niagara Falls, Ohio, Detroit, Indiana, and eventually back home, 34 days in a van with seven kids. They were my camera crew. We videotaped the entire process at prolifetour.com. We interviewed 73 people. Along the way, visited those 60 abortion facilities and really were able to get a deep dive into what's actually happening in the post-Roe versus Wade world that we're in. And I think there's a lot of excitement. I think there's a lot of work that still needs to be done, but I think the pro-life movement is incredibly motivated to continue the work.
What are some of your favorite stories from the trip?
Oh my goodness. Well, so you may remember a Sister Dee Dee, who spoke at the Republican National Convention in the midst of the whole COVID lockdowns and shutdowns, and it was a virtual Republican convention. And she got called up and said, "Well, would you like to speak?" And so all of a sudden, Sister Dee Dee became a national known name. But we were able to go there and witness what she actually does on the ground. There in Washington, D.C., we got to interview her as well. Her interview is at prolifetour.com. And what we found is that it was just an amazing sacrifice on her part and of all the volunteers who make that happen. And what she does is provide completely free health care to any woman who might need that in the Washington, D.C. area, specifically OBGYN type services. My favorite part of the trip, which is not captured on video, was her 101-year-old mother, who was there in a wheelchair. She takes care of her mother still to today, assuming she's still living now that we're on this podcast. So they told her, "Hey, this is Sister Dee Dee's mother, and she's 101 years old." And she looks up at the person pushing the wheelchair and says, "Is that how old I am?" It's like, when I get to 101 years old, it's okay if I forget my age. No, it was meeting people like Sister Dee Dee. It was meeting people, of course, David B. Wright in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Got to see him. Frank Pavone and Priest for Life in Florida. But I think one of the most striking things we saw was the people who aren't big national names, like these people who run these places, like Womankind in Cleveland, Ohio. Womankind is a very unique place, and what's cool about it is that they have several different physicians who will go through completely free of charge will provide OBGYN care through their entire 9 months of pregnancy and beyond, completely free of charge. And I mean, when you look at the pro-life movement generally, a pregnancy center might do a pregnancy test and an ultrasound and maybe some STD testing. But to do completely free OBGYN care, no questions asked, any woman who would want it in Cleveland, Ohio can get OBGYN care at Womankind. Very interesting name, kind of like Mankind, but Womankind. And it's been around for a while. It's kind of a secret there, I suppose, nationally, but it's a really incredible model. Also in Cleveland, Ohio, is a place called Veranova Health. And they also provide ongoing fertility treatments, fertility care. And one of the things that is kind of sad is that many women are struggling with infertility. And so I think that's a really great pro-life position to be in, is to help women who are struggling with infertility to be able to achieve pregnancy without going through some of these destructive things that would destroy children, and instead just honor that woman as well. Buffalo, New York has a place called Sunrays Ministry. Sunrays, one of the cool things about Sunrays is that they have a hair salon, a nail salon, and they also have a kitchen. So they teach all of these different awesome, incredible life skills beyond helping them with their pregnancy and also with, ultrasound and other things like that. So we were able to see a variety of different, places. But I think what we're most impressed with is those places that weren't fitting a mold. Those places who said, we're going to go above and beyond. We're not going to be your stereotypical of the 3,000 pregnancy centers. It's the ones who went above and beyond. And it wasn't branding or marketing. It was about the love that they shared. It was about a whole comprehensive, package. And we saw women leaving these different places with smiles on their faces and excited to, take that child, home, and excited to be able to be there at these different places. So huge, huge impact that these places are having.
Wow, that's absolutely incredible. And to think that these places that you talked about, they're in cities with the highest number of abortions, right? Like Buffalo, New York, and you have Cleveland, and that's where abortion takes place probably on a daily basis. And you see such incredible work being done there. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm just wondering, you did mention that you passed through Pennsylvania. Did you make any stops in Pennsylvania? Did you find what the landscape is like here? And what do you think about that?
Yeah, so we did stop in Philadelphia, the home of 777 Appletree Lane, was one of the abortion facilities out there. And we were able to get up very early in the morning, nice and cold. And actually, we found that at the abortion facility on Appletree Lane, that was the most aggressive abortion supporters and escorts we found during our entire trip. They had some potentially 6 to 7 abortion advocates who stood on the sidewalk, who escorted, quote unquote, escorted. You would have 3 to 4 of them rush a vehicle as they park their car and then stand around them and walk them into this abortion facility. That was an incredibly interesting thing to witness because. I mean, it's just on this, ugly looking alleyway there on Appletree Lane. And so on this building or in this building, of course, was also a daycare in the same building as an abortion facility. Unbelievable, like simply unbelievable. But what I found is there was a physician there as well, Dr. Rubaru, Monique Rubaru, who is incredible. And has done some really, really incredible work and is treating women through her OBGYN practice, goes out to the abortion facility. Of course, then we couldn't go to Philadelphia without visiting the Planned Parenthood, where there was this big, huge buffer zone, Supreme Court battle with a big, huge, yellow line drawn on the ground. And of course, it's the site of the Mark Hauck court cases as well, with that Planned Parenthood there. So much happened in Philadelphia, for sure. But I think the pro-life movement is alive and well. But they have a huge, huge uphill battle there in Philadelphia, and we were able to really, see what's happening on the ground. And if we're going to put some national dollars, national attention, a place like Philadelphia might be a good place to do that, to infuse it in some additional resources to be able to help them.
I'm wondering, can you tell us about the pregnancy resource centers that you visited?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I spoke about them a little bit before, and I really, really want to focus. Actually, there's one I haven't mentioned, which is out of New Jersey, Bridges Women's Center. And I think Bridges Women's Center out of New Jersey is probably the most unique pregnancy center that I was able to find. And what's interesting about it is it's completely church supported. But they operate both a sidewalk counseling ministry and the mobile center, and then everything that backs up all of that work. And they go from site to site to site. And I think it's really, really, wonderful to see that, there's just not this separation. And we find this with sidewalk counseling and pregnancy centers all the time, is that there's this separation between going out and actively talking to women who are going to actively go in and get an abortion. We call that sidewalk counseling. And then, well, maybe the mobile centers or the pregnancy centers, they're completely separate. And I think they took a really, really bold move there with Bridges Women's Center, is that they would do both and back it all up as well. It's the full package of going out and directly impacting abortion on the ground. And of course, the women who we met there on the ground were incredible. They have their own stories, each one of them, why they get involved, and of course, many of the different places we visited. But I think it's just was simply incredible to hear those stories. One woman we met, many actually, had their own abortion experience. Almost all of the pregnancy center directors and many of the people who work in these pregnancy centers, they had some level of a abortion experience their own. Either they took a friend to get an abortion, or they had their own abortion, or a mother or a relative had an abortion. Almost all of them have some abortion experience and some story that they can tell. And I think what this really means is that, the pro-life movement is motivated by love. Like we're going to do something about this. It's not just like we're going to be, angry about this. No, we're motivated by love. Like, yeah, this happened, but, we need to do something. And of course, those at Bridges there in New Jersey, they really had some incredible stories. Of course, you can see many of those at prolifetour.com. And we're just glad to be able to share those stories.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you. I mean, it's been very informative just hearing all the different ways that the pro-life movement has been working at the grassroots levels, and especially with how unique each of these initiatives are. I'm wondering, for you personally, what was your big takeaway from this whole experience?
I would say, personally, it would be the resilience of seven kids in a van. To be on the road literally every single day for 34 straight days, we asked the children, we said, hey, we're going to do this really crazy thing. You're going to see the entire eastern seaboard of the country, all the way from Florida, all the way up through New York. We didn't quite make it to Maine. But we promised them little tiny moments of excitement. So, for instance, we went to Niagara Falls. We went to Times Square and the Statue of Liberty, or at least we waved at the Statue of Liberty. And we spent a little bit of time on a beach, and I mean out of 34 days, a little bit of time. But there was this resilience of having and traveling with seven children that it transformed the entirety of how we see our children, how resilient they are, how pro-life they are. And of course, Everything that you see shot, every video you see in ProLifeTour.com was shot by teenagers. Everything. And they were on the ground with these cameras and making sure the lighting was correct. And as we went through the tour, we were pinning on microphones onto all these different guests that we had. We were literally, on the beach one day, in a pregnancy center the next day. And there were so many different scenarios. But I think the message I would have for those who are listening this evening, or today, or whenever you're listening, is that, wow, these children are resilient. And if we give them those opportunities to serve, wow, they'll rise to the occasion. And somewhat they had no choice, but we had so much fun. It was so incredible going from hotel room to a hotel room. We purchased this kind of like a trucker's cooler, and we would put all of our food in the cooler, unpack and pack every single day for 34 days. And it was just a journey that we'll never forget.
And we only have a couple minutes left, and I'm wondering, what was the reaction of your children to this experience? What did they have to say about it?
Well, my daughter, one of my youngest daughters, says, "Hey, I want to go to the beach." That was her one criteria. Can we go to the beach? And finally, when we made it to Florida, we got to the beach literally for I think about an hour and a half, and that's all we were able to spend our entire trip at the beach. But satisfied her, and I think it really taught them how to really work together. So my oldest is 16. I told his story earlier in the broadcast. Now it's 16 years old, but my youngest was 1 year old, and it's about I'll share the story from Massachusetts, and there's a father there. He has 14 children, and so you can see his story at ProLifeTour.com. But he has 14 children, and he gets accused all the time of splitting up his love. And this was the best quote, I think, of the entire tour. And he says, "No, with 14 children, we multiply our love because the children love each other. And then we bring in spouses, and then we have children and grandchildren. No, we multiply our love. We don't split it up 14 ways. It's then multiplied 14 times." And I thought that was an incredible quote out of Massachusetts. His name is escaping me, but the guy, the incredible father with 14 kids, but such incredible stories. And we were able to tell these stories with teenagers being our film crew.
That was wonderful. Our guest today has been Brian Westbrook, the founder and executive director of Coalition Life. Thanks for being on Positively Pro-Life today.
Well, thank you very much.
Positively Pro-Life is made possible through the generous support of our chapters throughout the Commonwealth. Thanks for joining us, and remember, there's always a reason to choose life.